Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Every car comes with its share of stories. You know that, right? That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date. The luxury package you got after that big promotion. Or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, right? But now you know how much it dings your wallet, so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. TrueCar cash offer, not available in all areas.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. Thank you for listening, downloading, streaming, all that good stuff. It is greatly appreciated. As you probably hear from the audio quality, I am on the road this week, coming to you from Los Angeles for my monthly visit here at the Rainbow, where I perform, or I should say I host. I guess there's some performance involved as well, but I host something called the Trunk Nation LA Invasion, and that happens with a bunch of great guests. And at the time you're hearing this open, I'm getting ready to do that, and that's going to be happening this time around with Sammy Hagar and his band The Circle, who have a new record coming out, as well as Duff McKagan, who's going to be joining me with Shooter Jennings, so that should be a lot of fun. And that's what I'm in LA for. Also had a chance to host the latest Dio Cancer Fund event for the Ride for Ronnie. That went real well. Nice surprise when Dave Grohl came down and joined us and jammed a little bit. That was a big, cool moment that nobody expected. Dave lives in Encino, which is close to where, which is in the place where we do the Ride for Ronnie for the Dio Cancer Fund. And he literally was walking by earlier in the day, saw the stage, saw what was going on, came back and played a couple songs with the all-star band that was assembled. And it was really, really cool. They did Jailbreak by Thin Lizzy, and they did Bomber by Motorhead. So it was a great day for a great cause for the Dio Cancer Fund. The latest event is in the books. Thanks to everybody who came out. I'm here in LA. As I said, I'm recording this on the Monday prior to the Thursday that it debuts. So I'm getting ready for the LA Invasion show from the Rainbow. And then Tuesday, which will have been this past Tuesday when you hear this, I've hosted Sammy Hagar's show at the Troubadour here in LA. Then fly back Wednesday. And then Thursday, I am off to North Carolina, Rockingham to be exact, where I will be at the Epicenter Festival this weekend, which I will be doing a side stage performance with my That Metal Show partners, Don Jameson and Jim Florentine. If you're attending Epicenter, we will be on the Village Stage, I believe it's called, whatever the side stage is. We will be there on Friday and Saturday only. At 5:45 is when our performance time is. So come by. Don and Jim will be doing a little comedy. I'll be doing some storytelling. We'll have a good time there if you are attending the Epicenter Festival in North Carolina this weekend. Then from there, I go to Hangout in Alabama. That is for a TV shoot for Trunk Fest for Access TV. And then from there, it's to Tulsa for Rocklahoma, which is here already, Memorial Weekend. So a jam-packed May around all of that. Of course, daily radio shows on Sirius XM Volume 106, live 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, replay 9 to 11 Eastern, and on demand on the Sirius XM app. And that's where all the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk podcast originate from. That being said, I'll keep things short here at the top because we do have two interviews for you this week. And I also, you know, like I said, as you can hear, pretty busy running and gunning in a lot of different directions. So interview number one, we go back to the Monsters of Rock cruise, which sailed this past February, and an interview with Snake Sabo from Skid Row, who also brought his new lead singer, or the new lead singer for Skid Row, ZP Tiert. I think that's how you say his name. First time I had a chance to meet ZP, and Snake, of course, is an old friend for decades now. And this interview happened on board the Monsters of Rock cruise as the band were getting ready for their performance, which they did an amazing job on this year. They really did. I mean, they played only one time, but they brought the house down, packed the theater. And it was the first time I had a chance to see the band with ZP, their current lead singer. So you get a little sense of what he's about and get a little update on Skid Row and what they're doing. Again, this originated live on board the Monsters of Rock cruise in February. And then the second interview, a little more recent, is a recent call-in that I had with Glenn Hughes, of course, of Deep Purple fame. Glenn is currently touring, doing a Deep Purple set around the world. Talk a little bit about that, his future plans, and some other stuff as well. So a little check-in with Glenn Hughes and sit down with Snake and ZP from Skid Row. That'll come first, followed by Glenn Hughes for this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Keep up with everything I have going on, because there's a lot going on. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Eddie Trunk. Twitter, where I'm most active, most up to the second. And you can always check out my official online home, which is eddietrunk.com. So we'll get to it, starting with Skid Row, coming up right after this on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
"60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in, and they'll check it out. And you guys can look at over together. You can ask questions. You get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trading your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
Hello, guys. It's MMA fighter Chael Sonnen. Check out my podcast, You're Welcome, with Chael Sonnen every Wednesday and Friday right here at Podcast One. We cover the latest in mixed martial arts and everything else going on in the world of sport. Listen free to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen, exclusively available at PodcastOne.com and on the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Snake Sabo, ladies and gentlemen. Don't feel compelled to clap. It's really not warranted in any way.
Yes, it is. And meeting for the first time. I met for the first time yesterday, and I'll see perform and sing for Skid Row for the first time ever on this cruise tonight. ZP Tiert, am I saying that right?
Close enough. I'll take that.
Close enough.
Yeah, I'll take that.
ZP, welcome, man. Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
How many gigs are you into? How much time do you have logged in Skid Row at the moment? Have you done a year yet? What are we looking at?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And you're still doing it, huh?
Yeah.
And where have you been?
You haven't had enough of this guy by now?
Well, he's grating on me a little.
Yeah, a little. Oh, my God. You got to
be nice
of a saint.
I got to be nice a little as well.
So talk a little bit about your how you got into the band and how this came about for you.
Well, there's this gay chat line online.
EddieTrunk.
.com. I've known Rachel for a while, and when the opportunity arose, he gave me a shout, and we just took it from there.
Mm-hmm. Where was your first gig with Skid Row?
Was in Mohegan Sun, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And how was that for you?
It was great. It was about, 5,000 people? It was a baptism of fire.
You know what's interesting is that when we started going through this search and things fell apart with Tony.
Tony Harnell had been in the band, 6 months maybe?
I think 10.
10 months. Yeah. I saw one of his early shows show in Vegas.
So things fell apart, as they do. And Rachel, as Z had said, Rachel and Z had known each other. And Z had actually, in one of his previous bands, had done a UK tour with us, opening up for us in a band called IMI. And so Rachel had said, you know, why don't we fly Z over and jam with him and see what happens? And we were like, I personally was like, okay, cool. You know, anything's got to be better than what the situation that we had. And he shows up and he knew more of our catalog than we knew. He like knew like 20 songs right off the bat. And we're like, what do you want to jam on? I'm thinking maybe 2 or 3 songs. He's like, here you go, man. I know all this. So whatever you want to do, I got. And we went through a bunch of stuff, and I was really, really blown away by just the work that he put into it and knowledge of the songs and also the respect that he showed those songs from the past, doing them justice and serving the legacy that they have, serving that and being respectful of where those songs came from and how they were recorded previously and stuff. But yet still taking ownership of them as well.
ZP, where did you grow up?
South Africa.
South Africa. Yeah. Now, was Skid Row a big deal in South Africa?
No.
We're still not.
No, still not. No, I got hold of the records, you know, and it was the soundtrack of many a crazy adventure in my childhood. So I knew the lyrics just because it was playing nonstop. And, I had to do it.
Was there any reservations for you going into a... Look, we just had, before you came on this show, we just had Queensryche on.
Right.
And you've got a guy in Queensryche, in Todd Latore, who had to step into what some people felt were irreplaceable shoes with Jeff Tate.
He's great, by the way.
And has been unbelievably embraced by the fans. And I think a part of it, too, not only has Todd done such a great job, but he also took the whole band shifted back towards where fans wanted him to go, which was in more a harder, heavier direction. But for you, was there any reservations? You know you're no dummy. You're coming in. Now, there's two guys before you that maybe softened the blows a little bit.
A lot, actually, I guess.
Solinger and Tony Harnell. But so it's not an immediate thing. But you know you're no dummy. You know that thing's always going to be hanging over you, that comparison to Sebastian, what he did in the band on those records. So was there any hesitation for you coming into this saying, I don't even know if I want to be dealing with that stuff?
Not at all.
Embrace it?
Dude, I've got so much respect for the band and the music, and I didn't care. All I needed to do was get in there, do my best, and do it the way that if I was stood in the crowd, I'd be going, fuck yeah, I can deal with that, mm-hmm. You know? And just do that. And what everyone... There's no shoes to fill. I don't step in other people's shoes. I just got to do what I got to do. And if I'm happy with it, I don't care what anyone else thinks.
That's what happened. And that's kind of what... When we jammed for the first time, it felt like really easy. It wasn't difficult at all. And I had my guard up, you know? And I was ready for a fight and almost just waiting for some sort of confrontation to occur because I was pissed at what we had been through up to that point. And he made it so easy, man. Just
why
so
do
easy.
You think things unraveled so badly with Tony? Why do you think things didn't work out with Tony?
We didn't know him from a work standpoint. Like, we were never necessarily, we were friends outside of bands, never worked with him before. And just, we have our way of doing things for better or worse. We just have, you know, we started the band in 86, and we have a way that we run our business, and it just didn't jibe with how he runs his life. It just didn't work.
How close were you after the departure or dismissal of Tony to doing a reunion?
Pretty close.
I imagine the pressure had to be pretty big from every quarter at that point to go, we're going to go to a fourth singer, or we're going to go...
You know what? I said pretty close, and that's actually not true. And I'm thinking about it, because we didn't get beyond text messaging each other, to be quite honest. And again, it was for whatever reason, there was all this stuff. I think I just lost you. My mic's out.
Your mic's out?
Yeah. Anyway, so...
This is what everybody wants to hear, for Christ's sakes. What are you talking about, the mic's out? Ed, do you hear us back there?
Yes.
Oh, it's just the mic in the room went out.
Okay.
The PA wasn't went out. So, Ed, as long as we're good, continue.
So we didn't get beyond the text messaging phase, and it was same old stuff, just seemed to exist, where there was, you know, this confrontational sort of demeanor going back and forth between myself and you know, Sebastian. And so it got to the point where I'm so proud of what we were able to create throughout the entire history of this band, and that will never change. But some things just don't work anymore, and people go their separate ways, and there's just, you can't get that back together. I'm fine with that, because I play music to be happy. I don't play music for a paycheck. It's great to get paid to do what you love, but I've never done it for the money. It's always been about my love of music, and that's what it still is. At my old crusty age, it's still because I love the guitar, and I love creating, and I love the response. I love being able to connect in some way with an audience. That's why I started playing music, was because I didn't know how to communicate, so it came out through music, through song. And playing with Z in the band has brought a real joyousness back to our lives. You can see it. It's not faked or phony. You can see it when we play. And that's what I live for. I live for those moments of just absolute joy. A reunion would have been great for a lot of other people who wanted to see that happen. But for us, it would not have been pleasurable, to be quite honest.
Last thing on that, did you read Sebastian's book?
No.
You have no interest in reading it?
You know what? No, I don't. I don't. I have.
You were there.
I have books. I have books by friends that I haven't read yet, so I might want to get to those first.
Do you want to do a book one day?
No.
No interest?
No. I tell stories to you. That's more fun for me.
He ripped my nostrils out last night.
I did.
You
spilled a beer on my head.
There is a series of photos. A simple photo op of me, Snake, and Steve Brown, as I was saying earlier in the show, turned into an all-out assault.
It was awesome.
There is literally, I can show you on my phone, somebody took photos of about a string of like 40, and it literally looks like an assault. Someone's pulling hair out. Snake literally has his fingers in my nostril.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and then he walks up to me just now. He goes, how'd you sleep last night? Oh, just great. just great. 1,000 beers and you're ripping my hair and nose out. It was wonderful.
I was hammered up.
Oh, my God. It was a good time. Who are we watching? Faster Pussycat.
They were great.
And it was great to watch them.
They were
them.
Great, man.
And it's great to see how well and healthy Tamey is. Awesome. Too, man. Because I was saying earlier, he was in rough shape for a while. And he just flipped a switch one day and became a different guy.
Well, you know what? The world needs guys like him, man. And too many of our compadres and our brethren are falling by the wayside. So I personally didn't want to lose him, so I'm so happy that he's doing as well as he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. ZP, what did you grow up listening to in South Africa? What kind of music was big there and was on your radar as a kid?
What was on the spin? Growing up, there was always radio playing. There was always music in the house, but it was more local artists, you know, Afrikaans, sort of stuff that
any big American rock acts or British rock acts there, though, that really resonated?
Yeah, Queen was quite a big, you know.
Bon Jovi, right?
Bon Jovi was huge, yeah. That's
two bands that are still huge.
Yeah. And I
Queen's
kinda,
bigger now than they've been in 40 years, I think. Right? It's crazy.
And I kind of cut my teeth on the early Bon Jovi stuff, and then.
We're doing a couple shows with Bon Jovi, by the way.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When is that? In
Europe, I think it's July.
Oh, wow.
In Austria.
Yeah. Talk about full circle, man, because everybody knows the history of your friendship with John, but also the history of the early days, the New Jersey tour and all that. I mean, that's really cool,
man. Yeah,
it's
really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you were saying, see?
So, when I grew up, my brother's 5 years older, and he brought music from school, when I was a kid. And it was a lot of German pop for some reason. Aha, and... Sandra and that sort of crap. Duran.
Metallica just covered Take On Me, by the way, by Aha.
Oh, did they?
in concert, they played it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, they played it as a goof because they were in the city where that band is from.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where it all kind of started off. And then I got introduced to Skid Row and everything just went wrong.
Wait, you haven't even seen the start of it yet.
Right.
Remember something. I've done an interview like this three other times introducing a new guy into the
band. Oh, that's how it started.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
You ain't the first rodeo here, pal.
Right on.
I wish you nothing but the best, but are you living in the U.S. now?
I'm between houses, I reckon. Yeah.
But you're based in America.
I'm still based in the UK, but I spent a lot of time here.
In the early history of you as the singer in this band, what's been a highlight so far? I know it's only been 2-3 years, and I know you're working on a record, which we're going to talk about in a second. But for you, do you have a personal highlight already? I mean, maybe it's coming up, opening for Bon Jovi, I would think.
Possibly, yeah. But so far, it's definitely been the first show. It was just, there's the deep end, boy, jump and swim, if you can. That was it, yeah, definitely.
And do you have favorite songs that you like singing? Are there things that you really get into that you wanted in the set or wanted to be sure that were in the set or personal favorites to you?
They're all there, and there's only a allotted amount of time. I wish we could play more, but definitely Quicksand Jesus is probably one of my favorite.
Yeah, it's a great song.
It's a really deep track, and I really get stuck in with that.
Yeah, I'm still, I work on him and Rachel hard on the Subhuman Race album because I love it. It might be my favorite Skid Row record. They continue to shun it. They continue to pay me no mind.
It's not true.
But
I definitely pay you no mind.
I continue to but do you like that record, Z?
I love them all, dude. Yeah.
Do you have Subhuman Race?
I do.
Frozen and Fire Sign and My Enemy. I'm trying to get him, jog his memory. The greatness.
It's so
of
weird because you talk and all I hear is da da.
Shut up.
That's all I hear.
Remember, I can turn your mic off. I got the control, you son of a bitch. But no, you're true. Obviously, when you do sets, the bulk of the sets coming from the first two records. Is that what? And are you doing anything beyond that at all? Like United World Rebellion stuff or.
We are.
I mean, I think there's great stuff on Thick Skin.
Yeah,
we still listen to Thick Skin all the time.
We do. I think we're doing Ghost.
Great song.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, great song. Born a Beggar, great
song.
Yeah,
I love that song, too.
Which goes back to Ozone Monday, actually.
Right.
Just remember that. But so much good stuff. So much no shortage of great material. And we're going to take a break. When we come back on the other break, let's talk about new material that's coming. And it'll be determined if it's great or not. It's highly suspect when you consider Snake's involved in it, but there will be a new Skid Row. It's a long-awaited Skid Row record, I'm assuming, coming. I know you're working right now on it, so we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll take some questions from the audience that's gathered here at Playmakers on the Monsters of Rock Cruise for Z, and also Snake Sabo from Skid Row.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, I'm sure you guys have seen and read so much about CBD, but a hard-to-find quality CBD company that is credible is really, really important, and CBD Lion is exactly that. CBD Lion is honest, provides third-party tests, and is a great-tasting product. You got to check it out, folks. A lot of you have been turned on to taking CBD, but finding an honest, reputable brand among the con artists trying to make a quick buck out there, well, that can be tough. But lucky for you, there is CBD Lion, a company that prides itself on quality and third-party lab testing to show you exactly what you pay for. They have an award-winning vape line and 10 excellent flavors, each having different potential effects, available in disposable vape pens, cartridges, and shatter concentrate. And if you're not into smoking, that's no problem at all. Their lotion, they've got a great lotion, gummies, tinctures, they're right up your alley. The lotion is great for treating spots in need. Gummies are fantastic for tasty consumption on the go, and it's all great stuff. It's flavorless, so it doesn't taste like you're eating dirt. It ranges in strength from 250 all the way up to 5,000 milligrams. And here's the best part. For listeners of the Eddie Trunk podcast, check this out, folks. 20% off your order. All you got to do is go to cbdlion.com. That's cbdlion.com. Enter the coupon code TRUNK. My last name, T-R-U-N-K, at checkout. cbdlion.com. Enter the coupon code TRUNK for 20% off your order. What are you waiting for? cbdlion.com, coupon code TRUNK for that 20% savings. Check it out.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Joining me for a few more minutes till the end of the show is Snake Sabo, co-founding member of Skid Row, and ZP Tiert. Did I say it right? I'm trying to get it right. Is it Tiert? Did I say it right? Tiert.
Tiert, yeah.
Tiert. There we go. Tiert. Who is the you're going to be the new guy, you know, for pretty
much
forever.
I will be the new guy for...
How long has Rob been the drummer in the band?
10 years.
10 years. So, yeah.
Yeah, I took over from him. Now I'm the new guy.
He got the new guy mantle. Yeah. But you guys are working on a new record. Snake, is this... Now, the whole United World Rebellion thing was two EPs so far. Is this I knew the plan was to do a third EP, or now have you changed? You're going to do a full record?
It's going to be a full length. We did. We're working with Michael Wagner again, which has been just an absolute blessing.
He's on the ship.
Yeah, it's amazing. You meet people over the course of your life that are just they're woven into the fabric of your life, and he's that guy. He with this band, and when he sits with us, he brings something out of all of us as individuals and as a band.
We should, before you continue, we should just tell people who aren't that well versed in the business, you know, making of records. Michael Wagner is a producer who did the first two Skid Row records. Yeah. And did he do a Rebellion one of the EPs?
No, he did RPM.
Oh, Revolutions Per Minute, which was the second record with Johnny. Okay, so this will be a return to working with him.
Yeah, and it's a different set of circumstances. Obviously, Z's first record with us, so that's exciting in and of itself. But there's been this like amazing amount of positivity in our camp for the last couple of years since he's joined the band, and we've been, you know, doing a lot of shows. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to tour consistently, and the writing process was in the past. It's always been really, really difficult, and for some reason, Rachel and I just. You know, it worked. It worked really
difficult
easily.
Even back in the day?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
First record, second record, difficult?
Difficult.
Why?
A lot of it, for me, it's very frustrating for me because I have a hard time extracting ideas. Like, I hear something in my head or feel something inside, but articulating that properly, it's always been difficult. Rachel, forget it. Like, he writes lyrics and comes up with ideas so much... more fluidly than I ever have. So I'm kind of the weak link of the pair, to be quite honest.
Well, in the balance of the writing and the history of Skid Row, with you and Rachel writing the bulk of the material, and there's been some exceptions over the years, of course. That obviously, there's certain songs that other writers or a song only you or a song only him. But basically, the balance of the partnership of the two of you guys, who generally does more of the lyrics versus the music?
He does. He does.
He's more the lyric guy.
Yes, without a doubt.
And you're more the music guy.
You know what? Like with lyrics, he's just better at it than I am. Like he's just. More fluid, and he just knows how to be more poetic than I am capable of. I add or critique, whatever. That's what we do. It's a back and forth.
But you've had your moments, like I was talking last night with somebody, and we were talking about everybody. I just said how much I love Subhuman Race, but there's a song in Subhuman Race, Breaking Down, which you wrote yourself.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a brilliant song with brilliant lyrics as well. So you have those moments where that comes to you like that, too.
Yeah, few and far between. But the thing is our relationship, obviously we're best friends, but we realized a long time ago that there's certain things that he does really well that I don't do well and vice versa. So we complement each other and we're able to create Skid Row. And so with this record, though, the songs a lot of them, it sounds very cliche, but a lot of them, they kind of wrote themselves. We were kind of just conduits, if you will. We're sitting there in the studio at his place in Nashville, and it's just, oh man, I don't know where this is coming from, but it's just, it's happening. And
so is the most prolific, would you say, as a writing for a record?
Flowed? I don't want to say that because it's like putting a jinx on something before anyone's heard it, but I think.
Well, I'm not saying it's good.
Right. Neither am I.
I'm saying it's prolific. I mean, a lot came from it. But so, yeah. Do you have the biggest well of material to pick from to make a record?
Yeah, I think so. It's been quite a while since, again, we just got in a zone, the two of us, and we were able to just, things just flowed. And it's a very positive record, like lyrically and vibe-wise, it's up. You know, it's like it's got a great energy about it. We've finished bass and drums already on the 12 songs that are going to hopefully make it on the record. And once we're done with vocals and whatnot, we'll see what the record will be. And we may have to write more songs. Who knows? But right now, we're really confident about where it's at.
What was the first song you guys ever wrote together?
A song called Telephone that never made it anywhere.
Not even a demo?
No. Maybe. We might have demoed it in Rachel's parents' house with a 808 drum machine, because he used to program a 808 and a 4-track. So, yeah, there's a possibility. Terrible song. It was. It was terrible. It was absolutely awful.
What?
Like your show. Go ahead. Sorry.
He forgets so quickly that I'm probably pretty much the only one on the planet that's going to play this record. Especially on a national radio show.
No accounting for taste over here.
Yeah, exactly right. So when you guys wrote 18 in Life, Youth Gone Wild, I Remember You, did you know when you were writing those songs that they were going to become sort of career-defining songs?
No.
Or were they just songs for the record?
Okay. No. My ego wouldn't have allowed me to think that way. And still, it's like it's just God's honest truth. You just hope to be able to connect in some way with people. And so when 18 in Life started connecting, I get chills because I'm still blown away. When I see people singing those words back in a live setting, I'm like, oh my God, like I was privileged to be a part of something that is still resonating with people 30 years later. That's an amazing, humbling thing for us. I Remember You nearly didn't make the record. We wrote it. Rachel and I wrote it, and we were like, it's all right. And if had it not been for Scotty, Sebastian, Scott McGee, our former manager, being in a rehearsal room in Toms River, New Jersey, in the garage going, that song's got to be on a record. Rachel and I were like, it's all right. Like, we didn't see it the way everybody else saw it. And thankfully, we put it on the record, and, you know, it's become, you know, obviously a mainstay in our set and something that helped, like you said, define the band.
Was there a song that you guys wrote back in the day that you thought was a slam dunk and didn't become one? That when you finish, like, oh shit, that's going to be huge, and it just didn't connect?
Breaking Down.
On Subhuman.
I thought Breaking Down was going to, I thought it was, I hoped it would have done better than it did.
Which is, it was in a movie, right? Wasn't it a movie soundtrack?
Prophecy,
yeah. Right?
Christopher Walken movie, yeah.
Again, from Subhuman Race. Z, for you, you know, into this band now a couple years, a bunch of live shows under your belt. It's got to be really exciting for you, I would think, to now be able to really put your stamp on being a part of the band by having a record. I mean, I think that's the real sort of sign that somebody's really made their mark in a band. Yes, you can do all the live shows you want, but then you've got a piece of the catalog where you're actually on a record. So for you, this has got to be an exciting time
totally,
to have that moment.
Totally, dude. Yeah. As a kid, I'm like, fuck me, I'm going to be on a Skid Row record, dude. How many people can say that? Yeah, I'm over the moon. I couldn't be happier, dude.
And have you been brought into the process yet in terms of hearing anything
absolutely.
Or whatever?
Oh, yeah. No, he's contributed to the songwriting as well. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's been, contrary to popular belief, we've always had a very open policy about songs. Best idea wins, regardless of where they come from. So other people can say what they want to say about that process, past and present members, but that's the truth. Best idea wins.
Yeah.
And so we're we have this one track that's like it's almost 8 minutes long. Believe it or not, for us that's crazy.
It's Prague.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. We're on the wrong cruise.
Yeah, Dream Theater.
Right. Exactly. So, but and Z contributed to that. You know, a lot of the lyrics and melodies and stuff like that as well.
So the target date for the record this
July,
year,
I think. Yeah.
Oh, you get it out this year?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, listen, I've got about literally 4 or 5 minutes before I have to end the show right to the second. Anybody got a question for the guys? Come on up, Jay.
Great shirt.
Oh, Draw the Line shirt. Come on, that's
great shirt.
Awesome.
Great shirt.
Hey, I'm Jay, Exit 3.
Yes!
Heights, New Jersey.
Good man.
Thanks for a lot of your efforts. We've enjoyed using a lot
Thank
of
you.
These, man.
Thank
I should ask this out at the Q&A, but if I asked you what state in the United States has the greatest ball busters, what would you say?
Jersey.
And no question.
No question
no
about
question.
It. No question.
And the only state to utilize the word jerk off properly.
Jersey.
Right?
Yeah, that's it, man. You're a good man.
Have a great cruise.
Thank you very much.
Hey, along those lines, let me tell you a funny story that happened very recently. Snake and I was as I was saying last night when we were drinking, hanging out, I said, I've literally known Snake well over 30 years. Mm-hmm. We grew up not far from each other. I saw Skid Row before Sebastian was in the band, in the clubs. I saw these songs being, you know, Matt Fallon singing Studio One, all the days. Remember when they got signed, everything. And so we've got this history. He's always been, and I mean this as a total compliment. He's always been the same dickhead.
It's true.
Whether it's true. Whether he was on MTV every 2 seconds or whether he was broke playing a club, he's always been the same idiot.
That's true.
And we were. I'll never forget this. For those that don't know, Snake also is, believe it or not, despite appearances, actually a successful manager himself. He manages artists through McGee Entertainment. And I was when Snake's in management mode, he'll wear like a button-down shirt or something, you know.
For real.
So I'm at Sirius XM headquarters in New York, and I'm doing my show.
Oh, dude, this is the best.
And I'm sitting in the studio, and I'm interviewing Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless.
Yep.
And she doesn't know anything about, you know, she doesn't even know who she didn't even realize who he was. But I'm in there, and I'm in the middle of this pretty, you know, intense. I forget we're getting into some heavy subject matter, and we're talking and. I have no idea he's even in the building. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of conversation, like a blur, he comes running through while we're live on the air, punches me hard as hell right in the shoulder, turns around and goes and runs back out of the studio. And she, you know, she's like 30 years younger than us. And she just looks and she goes, whoa, what was that? She goes, that looked like some sort of like really weird friend shit or something or something like that. And I was like, yeah, it pretty much was. That's how we express ourselves. But
I think I yelled into your mic like you're listening to you on the radio is like sniffing a really bad fart.
Yeah.
And then ran out.
And then just wailed on my shoulder and ran out. But the look of her, she was horrified, like security, like what just happened? Because it was in and out like that. It was amazing. If you ever see, there's an old Skid Row video. Was it Roadkill?
Yeah.
When you guys are in the airports and you're pulling your sweatpants down. And it's never ending hijinks. And Z, are you catching any of that as the new guy in the band?
I'm dishing out, dude.
Oh, you're wow. Good for you, buddy.
I had to figure out. It's very quick. Eat to be eaten, you know, so I'm eating.
Oh, my gosh. You may want to invest in an athletic cup, too, because they've been known to do some nut shots when you're not looking either, which are no fun at all. All right. Well, listen, we got to end on the second here on time, so I appreciate you guys dropping by. I'm looking forward to seeing you sing for the first time tonight with the band, man.
Right on.
And it's
thank you. Thanks, guys.
Great songs. Can't wait to hear them. One of my favorite bands. Everybody knows
thank
that.
You.
My
thank
good
you for
buddies,
everything.
Skid Row, and they'll be performing tonight on the Monsters of Rock cruise.
Hey, it's Eddie Trunk, and this is the Eddie Trunk Podcast, and that was Snake and ZP from Skid Row from the Monsters of Rock cruise this past February. Good to visit with those guys. Good to meet ZP. And, of course, always great to bust some chops and talk to my old friend Snake Sabo of Skid Row. Take a break. We'll come back. Interview number 2 on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast is with Glenn Hughes, a newer interview, talking about his current touring, playing Deep Purple, and some other stuff you'll find interesting as well. Glenn is up next on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, Hey, if you like my show, check out The Producer's Guide, Todd Garner and the Hollywood Elite on Podcast One. And this summer, things are heating up as Todd sits down with podcast darling Anna Faris and the director of Avengers Endgame, Joe Russo. Download new episodes of The Producer's Guide every week on Apple Podcasts and, of course, Podcast One.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome back. Eddie Trunk here. As promised, Glenn Hughes took some time out to give me a call a couple weeks ago as he was getting ready to do some U.S. dates for the current touring he is doing. Still doing the All Deep Purple show. A phenomenal show if you had a chance to see it. I have, and it's really pretty amazing. So Glenn wanted to call in with a little bit of an update, and here is what he had to say. He is a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Mr. Glenn Hughes. How are you, Glenn?
I'm great. Hope everyone is feeling wonderful on a very sunny day in New York.
You are on Long Island. You're playing the Paramount in Huntington tonight. I've never been there, but I hear it's a great venue, everybody tells me.
Oh, it is. I played there with California Breed about four or five years ago. It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to it so much. How are you, Eddie?
I'm very good, Glenn. Busy as hell, like you, you know, in a million directions, like I know you are as well. But no complaints when you're living the dream playing rock and roll, right?
You know, isn't it crazy that I think I'm busier now than I've ever been. Maybe the 70s was wacky, but I've never been this damn busy, and I'm really grateful that that is occurring.
How do you feel health-wise? I mean, you've been through a lot. Everybody knows you had heart surgery. You've been through a lot, and I saw you play last summer, and it was stunning, and you look and sound as good as ever, and I'm saying that sincerely. But how do you feel, Glenn? How's your health? Everything good?
It's good. I just got to, you know, get my sleep, and I got to drink a lot of water, watch the caffeine, exercise. I read a lot of books. I try and stay as calm as humanly possible for someone that is, like, full tilt. So I just try and stay as calm as possible and get, again, a lot of sleep.
Yeah, that's what they tell you. What about why is the caffeine? Is that because of the heart issue that you had to stay off of that?
I think my doctor's, you know, I stopped, for instance, I stopped the Red Bulls and the Monster stuff. It's just bad for me. I'm a lightweight regarding caffeine, so I just have to be very careful. I can't drink caffeine after 11 o'clock in the morning. So, but that's really no issue for me. I'm just at a place in my life now where the path is very obvious where I'm going. And obviously where I come from. So all I know, I'm living in this moment. This present is all I care about, is this moment right now.
Hey, Glenn, are you a little off the phone? Because you sound a little distant as far as the phone is. Are you on a speaker or something?
No, I'm on the headset. Can I take it off?
Yeah, because we want to hear you a little bit better if we can.
Get it?
Yeah, that sounds a little better.
No problem, kid. All good.
Yeah, way better. Thank you. So, so all is good, and you're out still doing what you've been doing now for a little bit, which is the Deep Purple stuff, right?
Yeah. You know, again, I want to, you know, reiterate what I told you last year, Eddie. When we got inducted into the Hall of Fame, was it 3 years ago, this last month, I got proposed all kinds of offers and stuff to do the legacy work that I did in the 70s. You know, I've never done a complete Deep Purple show before, and I thought it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to add a few extra songs to do it. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel around the world for the last almost 2 years now doing this show, and it's, you know, an amazing event for me to do, and I get to honor the legacy that I created back in the 70s.
It is an incredible show. It's unbelievable how great the band is, how great you are singing it, playing it. I cannot recommend it more highly, having seen it myself. And I got to ask you along those lines, since you're still doing the Purple thing, of course, the time you were in Deep Purple, you were in the band with David Coverdale as well. And I just saw David recently, and I'm going to see him on Thursday. And I know you guys are still very close. David, you know, David made some news recently where he made some statements about you and him being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Purple, and how he was not necessarily made to feel comfortable or welcome in that environment. Can you speak on that? How was it for you?
I think in general, I think most people, a lot of people know in the industry, maybe I think maybe some fans know that there's no relation. David and I don't have a relationship with anyone else in Deep Purple at all. Although we did work with, of course, you know, John Lord and Richie and Ian Paice. We just don't have a relationship. It's very difficult to be in a band with someone when you're in your early 20s. And all these years later, no one wants to really converse. No one wants to reach out. So David and I had to sit down and said, you know something? We're going to go get that award. We're going to sit at that table and have fun. And we had fun with Cheap Trick and Sheryl Crow in Chicago at the end of the show. It really, you know, it was a disappointing event for most of us because it didn't feel like a family. And as we all know out there, people listening to this lovely show, a lot of bands from the 60s and 70s and 80s, they don't really talk to each other anyway. But it was so damn obvious that night. It was a bit strange. But I walked through it, got along with it, and David and I had a lot of fun, and we are very close, and I love him to pieces.
So did you not have any interaction with those other guys at all? Was there did you acknowledge each other? Was there anything
behind? You know me well enough. I always put my hand out and da-da-da-da. That's what I've always done. There was a lack of communication. There was no eye contact. It was very... And I know this is good copy for you, Eddie. I know people are probably loving to hear this stuff. But for David and I, it was a little bit... It was a bit heinous. I just thought it was very inappropriate. We're all on this stage as brothers, and I didn't feel a sense of camaraderie. I felt more closer to Lars than anyone else, but... Again, David and I accepted our award with grace, and we're very, very excited by it all.
What do you think that's about, Glenn? Do you just think it's, you know, I know that you don't have a relationship there anymore, but do you just think that it's about, well, you guys are a different era? Or, I mean, obviously it was a different lineup, but Ian Paice is there. He was in the band with you. I mean, you guys shared that time. But what do you think is at the core of that? Is it a business thing? Is it an ego thing? What do you think it is?
I think it's a core of all the things you mentioned. I think it's business. I think it's personal. I think it's, I have scratched my head years and years and years ago asking that same question. I think it affected David a little more than I did. So I don't know. He was very perturbed that we weren't asked to sing with them, you know. And I think he called Ian Gillan up. I said, well, good luck. It didn't bother me whatsoever because I knew Paul Shaffer was going to invite us to sing at the end of the show. So we got to do it. Look, for every Deep Purple fan with this mark, 1, 2, 3, or 4, I think everybody would love to have heard Burn. And, you know, the fact is that I knew going into it, Eddie, that it wouldn't happen. David, on the other hand, let me talk to Ian Gillan. And, of course, he did call him up, and it didn't go well. So I only want to wish all members of Deep Purple, past or present, the very, very best love coming from me. I have no trust in that.
I just had David on the show the other day, and I'm going to see him in Florida in a couple days. And the other thing that, David is in a mode in his life, it seems, where he really wants to, and I guess this comes with being older, bury the hatchet with anyone he had issues with, and just, you know, wants to connect with everyone again. And to that end, you know, he said he's been trying to have and reaching out and having some dialogue with Blackmore or his wife Have you had any dialogue with Richie at all?
You and I haven't spoken about this, Eddie, or maybe we have and I've just forgotten. But 2 years ago, I got a call from one of Richie's camp asking me if I'd like to be part of what was now called Rainbow as a singer. And I thought about it and I said, you know, it'd be really great to go and connect with Richie, have a bit of lunch with him on Long Island. I'll fly in and fly out. And I'm saying this with love and respect. I got a call the night before I was in a flight to JFK. This would have been 18 months ago. And Carol, bless her, said they'd found a new singer who would be Ronnie Romero. And would I like to join the band as a background singing bass player? And I said to myself, let me just have 1 second to think about that. I said, look, you know, anyone who wished Richie all the very, very best, and I want all of you to have fun, but I have to decline that offer because I am a singing dude, as you know. I mean, I've come a long way in the last 40 years to get where I am now as a singer, and I only feel comfortable doing what I think is appropriate. Again, I would have loved to have done it to hang with Richie and have some fun with him because we had a lot of fun, he and I. but it wasn't meant to be. So I don't, as you know, Eddie, no one really gets to speak to Richie. I think they all speak to Carol. I have no animosity towards any of the Camping Deep Purple or Rainbow, but I only want to wish him only the very best.
Let's talk about what you got going on. So you're playing in the at the Paramount tonight, which is on Long Island. You've done, you've been all over the world doing this Deep Purple show, and I'm looking at your dates, your past dates, and your upcoming dates. You've literally taken this all over the world. You have a stellar band that plays it with you. Again, I've seen it, and your voice is as stunning as ever. What has the reaction been? What are the highlights been for you, Glenn, to revisit this material and to take it around the world like you just have?
Well, I know you know this as a fact, because any band from the 70s that is still going, or anyone from the 70s that is still able to get up there and do what they do, he or she, I look in the audience and I see people of my, fans or followers, sorry, I hate the word fan, followers of my age, then I see their kids, and they're all, I mean, I might be playing in Mexico City, I'm playing, or, you know, in Moscow or Taiwan, and they're all singing the words. All these teenagers are singing my words. You know, it's, oh my God, it's so overwhelming to see the audience in any country singing these songs. They may not speak English, but they can sing in English. So I'm overwhelmed with the fact that people are coming to see this man, which is me, do the legacy that he created all those years ago. I'm humbled by it, full of gratitude, and it's almost like, I don't want it to stop. This train is moving so quickly that I have to really center myself and enjoy it. I don't want to think about tomorrow's show. All I'm thinking about is tonight in Huntington at the Paramount. I can't wait to get there.
Well, you're at the Huntington, you're at the Paramount, then you're at the Wall Street Theater, Norwalk, Connecticut, and that is tomorrow. And then two shows at Les Paul's legendary club, the Iridium in New York, that's coming up the 26th and 27th, a very small, intimate venue, which is amazing to see you there.
Eddie, how am I going to get my bass rig in there?
Then you go to Ohio, the Empire Theater. I'm looking at your website, Fort Wayne, Indiana, the Clyde Theater, and the Arcata Theater, St. Charles, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Then you got Michigan, and then you're going to your native land. You're going to the UK.
Yeah,
huh?
That tour is pretty much sold out. So a lot of these events are sold out or selling out quick now. So, you know, again, I'm working. My last show is... funny enough, my last show is in Halloween in Moscow. And then I'm going to... No, I'm wrong again. There's another English tour happening at the end of November. So November 28th, I'll be 29th, I'll be returning home to LA, where I'm going to take December off. Can you believe it? I'm on the road for 9 months again this year. How wonderful is that?
Wow. You can find out all the information at glennhughes.com and find out if where Glenn is in the world, where you get an opportunity to see him. And you know what, Glenn? I got word on something you're already doing in 2020, which I've done and really enjoy, and I'm sure I'll be a part of again, and that is the what's called the On the Blue Cruise, which is with Justin Hayward and that crew.
Yeah.
And that's you're already booked on a cruise for 2020. Yeah. Do you enjoy doing a cruise?
Yes, and I did one with BCC last year, you know, and Justin's a really dear friend of mine. For anyone that did, I think, Eddie, you know this, I was signed to the Moody Blues label Threshold in the early 70s with Trapeze. So I've known Justin forever, love him to pieces. And I got an opportunity to join this cruise and do what I do, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going out April 1 through 8 of 2020 on the Blue Cruise, headlined by Justin Hayward. And actually, John Lodge produced Trapeze, right?
He did. First two records, yeah.
Wow, amazing. Yeah,
they're really good friends of mine. Who can imagine a band, any band, could bring an unknown band called Trapeze from the UK to Los Angeles and do some shows without an album being out? It's incredible.
So, Glenn, when you're done doing this run of these dates this year, doing the Purple set that you're doing, what do you plan to do beyond that? Are you going to continue doing Purple, or are you going to change gears to another solo album? What are you thinking?
I'm not sure about recording a solo album right now, but I am going to do something else. A challenge is coming up for me. I'll share with you a little later in the year about that, Eddie. I'll come to you first. You know I always do that. But I will be doing... the Deep Purple Legacy show whenever I can. I just need to put the brakes on at the end of this year because it'll be two years and 4 months of constant touring. I need a breather. So, but I have other things in the pipeline that I'm really excited about and a challenge for me. I love a good challenge.
And, of course, you did a Black Country Communion record. You did BCC4, another record in the pipeline with that band you'd like to do?
I spoke to Derek and Joe last Friday about possibility of doing more, whether it's, we know we're going to record an album, but are we going to play live? That's my home. You know, look, Eddie, we all know how great BCC is on the records, but this is an incredible band. All I wanted to do was form a band with Joe, Derek, and Jason and play these songs live. It's been difficult. I'm not upset or resentful over that, but I'm so damn busy now. I'm just hoping we can get a window of opportunity to do what we do.
Yeah, everybody has so many different things going on at the same time, but it would be great if you guys could make a carve out a month or something to be able to do a run of shows, because I've seen BCC live, and it is also incredible, and it would be great to give people a chance to take that out on the road and see it one more time.
I just love all these guys in this band. It's such I mean, Joe's really, really good family. I just love him so much, and I've known Jason since he was in Diapers. I come down, I was staying at John's house in 1972, and I come down the stairs. I'm here, I love Bonzo on the drums. It was Jason. He was like 6 years old. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and of course he's out there playing with Sammy Hagar now, and you know, I'll be seeing him soon as well, and he's having a lot of fun doing that, I know. One last thing I want to ask you, Glenn, because I have, when people ask me and we talk about singers, and I don't, you know, I'll never forget Kevin Shirley, I think it was, made a great point. He said, you know, so many people talk about Glenn's voice because it's so stunning that sometimes his bass playing, which is also phenomenal, gets overlooked. Interestingly enough, you were on Joe Satriani's last record and only played bass.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
When I had Joe on, I said, how do you have Glenn Hughes on your record and not have him at least sing a song? And he said, everybody asked me that. He goes, and that's exactly why I didn't do it, because everyone would have expected that. He goes, I wanted to just showcase Glenn's playing.
I'll make it a brief answer to that. All the time making that album, as we were recording the songs, we were recording live, I go to Joe and say, hey, don't you hear a vocal thing there? Every song I'm like, don't you hear a little inflection on the vocal there? But it was fun, and I'd do it again. I just love playing basses, you know. Everybody knows about my vocals, but the only thing is I just love playing that bass guitar. It really gets me going, yeah.
So what my point was that whenever we talk about singers and the guys as they get older, who's good still and who lost something, I mean, you're the benchmark. I mean, and I have no problem saying that. You are the benchmark. Anybody that knows anything knows you are the benchmark for greatness in singing. It is, there's no other word for it but stunning what you do vocally still. I've got to ask you a quick thing, though. Have you ever seen or heard or do you know of a singer by the name of Jay Buchanan from the band Rival Sons?
He's a close friend of mine, and I love what you're saying about him and the band. I had my own show, you know, in London on Planet Rock about 7 years ago, and I remember meeting Jay and Scott. I was hosting a party for John Barbados in Hollywood, and I met these two kids. I'm thinking, they look like rock and rollers. And they handed me an album called Pressure and Time. He said, can you play this? I said, yeah, let me just... I didn't even listen to it. I just put it on. And I'm going, what is this? Of course, all these years later, we're very, very close friends. Dave Cobb produces them, as you know, and he produced me in California. Group. I love Jay. I love the band. I think they are the greatest young, talented band in America, for sure. And I only want to wish them and all their followers great. Just if you don't know who they are, for God's sake, go listen to Rival Sons. Pharaoh Roots is one of the best records I've ever heard in the last 10 years. And all power to you. And thank you so much for being so kind and graceful to that band, Eddie.
Well, I agree with you, everything you just said, and that's the only reason why I do it, because I feel that strongly. But I just saw them live, and watching Jay sing, he is the only guy I've ever seen that has a power similar to yours. I mean, he has the mic down by his waist.
I know.
The vocal is ridiculous. And I'm like, this guy and Glenn Hughes, it's like, now, I mean, you guys have different ranges to your voice, but it's remarkable watching him sing, just like it is watching you sing. Of course, you've got some years on him, which makes what you do even more insane. But it's just stunning to watch guys do what they do like that.
If I can share this, so Jay doesn't mind me saying this, but he's very, very deeply spiritual. And I'm walking that same path. We do talk about this. And I just love the way he's chosen the right path. All those years ago, I wasn't on that path. And of course, I am now. But I just personally, I think Jay's a wonderful young guy, you know.
Well, my thanks to Glenn Hughes right there. And earlier in the podcast, my thanks to ZP and Snake from Skid Row. Appreciate you guys listening to the Eddie Trunk podcast. It's new every Thursday and always free, podcast1.com or iTunes. And be sure to check out my daily radio show if you live in the U.S. and Canada on Sirius XM channel 106 volume. I'm live every day talking rock with you 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. Show replays every night 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. And it's always available anytime you want on demand on the Sirius XM app. Catch you guys on the radio. Catch you if you are at Epicenter, or if you're going to hang out, or if you're going to Rocklahoma. Big festival month here in May. I'll see you guys out and about, and be sure to listen to the podcast. Check out the radio show each and every day, like I said, on Sirius XM as well. Have a great week. Catch you next Thursday for another all new episode.
Is just around the corner.
Jen and I always talk about throwing a pair of hoops. By the way, mine are from Claire's from forever ago still. They're like rotting, but they were.
They're really cute.
Now's the perfect time to check out Mama Said with Jamie Lynn Sigler and Jenna Paris on Podcast One, brought to you by the Lady Gang Network.
If he does something negative, like shove his brother or call the nanny stupid, which he did yesterday, we take him away.
Download new episodes of Mama Said every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.